You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Amen. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer as we set our hearts. We're on this theme of being led by the Holy Spirit for the year 2025. And we're studying the book of Psalms, not all of the Psalms. CJ and I just talked about, hey, let's just pick our favorite ones and preach through those as they are great prayers to God, and they connect us with God in a powerful way. So let's ask him for his presence to join us now. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this gathering, for the worship, for the fellowship, for every soul. Thank you for just great couples like Joe and Erica. Just so grateful for all the people in the congregation you've brought in, for youth camp and all the things you're doing. Father, we praise you and we thank you. Open our minds and hearts to experience your presence, to learn your ways. Be with us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of today's lesson is Radiant in the Storm, and I'm going to preach from one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 34. And I love this. We all go through storms in life. There's oftentimes pressures that come into our life, and we feel the weight of expectations. Sometimes they come from financial concerns. Sometimes it's relational frictions that occur within our workplace or in our school or within our family. Sometimes there's death in the family, and that creates a trauma and a pain. Sometimes there's great illness and medical diagnoses that scare us, that take us to a place of difficulty. Sometimes there's legal issues we have to face, or just personal failure, or sins that are just besetting sins that we don't know how to break free, and we feel this storm in our life, a heaviness. Well, right now, we are about 3 weeks away from the LA Jubilee, and I'm feeling a little bit of the weight of the LA Jubilee. I've taken the responsibility, believing that this is something our fellowship of churches all over Southern California need. So I've put myself out there to help direct and coordinate a lot of it, and the details are starting to come on down the pike, and it's not an easy process. Our whole Westside staff, so grateful for them. They're serving massively. They're all teaching. CJ, Cherie, Ryan, my wife, all doing lessons. But I want it to be a springboard of faith, but there is a lot of risks that come with it. There are a lot of the details. It's a massive financial risk, and there's several hundred thousand dollars that go out for us to meet with 5,000 people at the LA Arena. And so sometimes I can feel the weight of that a little bit, and I want it to be fantastic. I do want to commend Westside. We said, let's get at least half of all our memberships there. Already over half our membership is registered, so thank you so much, Westside. Please be praying that all the rest of our sister churches can also hit that goal. But let's go way beyond half, all right, guys? Let's get almost all of us there, because it's a memory you'll treasure forever. The weight of something like that, for me, requires me to give it up, because I can't handle all the details. I know God has to work. A similar situation occurred in David's life, even more dire than simply planning a conference. David got exiled from his country because the king was jealous. And as a consequence, he had to really flee his own land because the current king was jealous of him. He had to flee to, he even flee to an enemy territory thinking to be safe there. But in that location, he also had fear, and so he acted like he was a crazy man, and he was let go by that other king. And this prayer, Psalm 34, came out of that. It came when he was really living in a cave. And so the main idea I want us to get today is this. When the storm hits, those who look to God are radiant, not because the storm is gone, but because his presence is near. Amen. And Psalm 34, you can turn in your Bibles to that. I have a lot of it on the sermon today, but you might want to just have it to reference it if you want to scroll down to it or open it up. David, like I said, wrote this in a difficult situation, not in a place of total victory. And yet it talks a lot about victory. Now, an interesting thing about this psalm, many of the psalms are written and they're called acrostic psalms. You ever heard of that? Anyone know what an acrostic means? It basically means that each line of this poem, this prayer fits into one letter of the Hebrew alphabet from A to Z, so to speak. But in Hebrew, I know Joel will be learning this because he's learning Hebrew now, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each line begins with the letter in successive order. So for instance, like this, let me show you an example. For this particular psalm. It's an acrostic, and I don't have all of them listed, but, you know, it's like they're ABCs right there. They go through, and it takes some skill to write a song or a poem with that intent, right? That I will extol the Lord at all times. And then each line fits into that. Why would they do that? Well, it takes some creativity, but also in a culture where things were learned orally, it aided in memorization, right? And in teaching and learning. Interestingly, in this particular psalm, they leave out the sixth letter of the alphabet in the Hebrew alphabet. And scholars aren't quite sure why. They think maybe it's a gloss in some of the translation. Others propose that maybe David intentionally left the sixth letter out. He has all the other ones covered. And I thought, well, maybe that is right, because he knows that, yes, he wants things to be complete, but there's always challenges and mess and imperfections in life. And so I thought maybe he thought this would be even more memorable because he left out one of the letters. We're not totally sure. But we do want to delve into Psalm 34, and we're going to learn it, and we're going to break it down into three basic points for you today, all right? I got 3 points. Number one is this: how to be radiant in the storm. Always praise God. And let's begin reading in verse 1 of Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. That's actually verse 1 and verse 4 and 5 there that I read. Always praise God. See, David writes this not after a victory, but while hiding in a cave. He's betrayed, he's hunted, he feels humiliated, and yet he says, I will extol the Lord at all times. It's not just naive positivity, it's a defiant faith against the circumstances in his life, believing that what he hopes for will come true. It's choosing to praise even when life doesn't make sense. See, sometimes praise is not the result of deliverance, it's the pathway to it. Can you thank God, praise God, say you are good all the time, even when things in life are very challenging? And all of us face storms in life, don't we? Jesus said, you will face trouble in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He says, I'll extol the Lord all the time. I will always praise him, not after the breakthrough, not since things have settled out, but even in the middle of the storm. And here's the promise. You then will have radiant eyes. See, radiance doesn't come from avoiding storms. It comes from turning your face to God in the middle of them. It comes from our eyes being focused on the author of life, on the one who wants to walk, as CJ mentioned in last week's sermon, he wants to walk with us and be with us through these storms. Don't ruminate on negative things. I can sometimes find myself ruminating on negative things, and I try to kick it out. Jesus said, don't worry, have faith, be certain. Unfortunately, many of us, we do focus on the negative when we're in the middle of a storm. We see the negative things. We see what can go wrong instead of what might change. And a weariness can show up on our face, an anxiety, a discouragement. But when we look to God, when we see God, when we understand his grace, a radiance can emanate from within us, right? Jesus said, the eyes are the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, are healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body is full of dark. Do you look at the problems or do you look at God? Sometimes my anxious thoughts creep in. That ever happened to you? Finances, and for me right now, it's all the details of the Jubilee. All the many details to pull off something like this. But you know, I don't want to question, hey, will this let people down? I want to look and see how God's going to bless. And so it drives me to pray. It drives me to go, I have to let go. When things are beyond you, you have to let go. It moves you to pray. It pushes you. And then God wants to reveal himself. This past week, I had the privilege of doing an annual fishing trip that Kirk Nascimento has gotten me into for the last 3 years. And we go out to the Pacific Ocean for like a day and a half where we don't sleep for like 34 hours. Maybe 2 hours in that whole time, to try to catch bluefin and tuna. And I went with Kirk, and also my daughter's boyfriend, Aramie, is also an avid fisherman, so we went on out. And, you know, when you go fishing, you don't always catch fish. In fact, the captain of the boat, you have to invest a fair amount to go on this trip. And the captain of the boat tells us when we're there, he's like, hey, last time we went out 2 days ago, we caught nothing. You know, you can't see the fish under the water. You're hoping they're there. Now, they do have sonar these days under the boat that do see the fish. But you don't always find them. The Pacific Ocean's big. And so we're out there. And Kirk and I were praying, Aramie's listening. No, he's not a member of the congregation, but he believes in God, and so he's listening, and we're praying, God, help us catch fish. Help us. I'm praying, God, I want you to be just glorified. I want people to see that you're here. And so there are like 30 other seasoned fishermen, and we ended up catching 4 fish, us guys. So here's a picture of us out there. It was pretty awesome. Bluefin, yellowtail. We did pray a lot, out loud, at the table, on the boat. And some miracles happen. Things happen. You're like, wow, how did that happen? Thank you, Kirk, for all your equipment and your faith and helping and training. And we caught some fish, right? See, it reminds me that God sees me. He sees us. And I prayed specifically. I wanted my daughter's boyfriend, Aaron, to know, hey, prayer works. Even in simplistic things like this, does God really care a lot about if we come home with a catch? I think he cares about our faith. And he's working on that. And he blessed us in that area. How much more do you think he cares about souls fishing for men? Those you want to see find him. You don't think he wants to answer that prayer? I believe he does. The Lord is good all the time. Always praise him. Amen. Second theme I want to bring up from this psalm is brokenness brings God near. And so I want to skip around a few verses here. Brokenness brings God near. Near, right? So we read these verses from Psalm 34. It says, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. David doesn't pretend to be strong. He says, this poor man called. He was overwhelmed. He had been anointed the king at this point, but he wasn't seeing that reality in his practical life. Sometimes we become Christians and we think, oh, life's going to be easy sailing now. And it's oftentimes just the opposite. God is interested in your soul. He doesn't require strength. He responds to honesty. He isn't far off when you feel low. He moves closer when you're broken. He says, David says here, God is near when you're broken. When I study the Bible and train people how to be disciples, when I'm preparing them for baptism, I want them to see God's already provided the way to peace and hope and eternity. Will you accept his son died for you, because of you? Is there a brokenness about your life? No matter where it is right now, is there a brokenness where you can see you need God? Went to the funeral last week for Jay Eubanks' father. And the Eubanks family is a large, awesome, warm family. A lot of energy there. I loved being there. It was a highlight. Why was the funeral a highlight? Because it revealed God's presence. There were tears. There was honesty. There was realness about the good, the bad, and the ugly of Jay's dad's life. There was a lot of God brought into the conversation. And the presence of God was felt. Healing was present. It was an honor to be there. Jay, you have a great family. And our hearts are with you in the past. And he studied the Bible with his dad in his last weeks. He brought the word of God in. When there's brokenness, God is near. The scriptures teach the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And he delivers them. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you, the Apostle Peter wrote. It's in these tough times. It's in brokenness that we actually draw closest to God. I heard about the incredible song, Brian Craig's song, they sang up at youth camp. And one of, Brian passed back in December or earlier than that. I think it was November. And Brian wrote these incredible songs and made such a difference in the lives of all of us, especially the youth. And Marshall and Cora were there crying as kids were crying as the song was sung. But they felt the presence of God, the Spirit of God. That's what Brian's goal was. Brian's smiling. He's full of joy. He's full of hope and faith for all of us. But it's brokenness that brings us near to God. This happens in every area of life. There's an example even in American history during the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln was under tremendous pressure. Thousands were dying. Over 600,000 American lives lost because of the divide in the country. And Lincoln felt the weight of this divided nation. He was maligned in the press, despised by enemies, doubted by allies. And in a moment of despair, he says this, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go." It was prayer, not politics, that grounded Lincoln, and through him, God held together our country. It's prayer that will unite us as people. It's the kingdom of God that unites us as people, and his plans and his heart. But a brokenness is needed in each of us for God to draw near. See, he specializes in meeting us in the cave, or in that place of great intensity and pressure. In that midnight moment, God doesn't turn away from your brokenness. He leans in. Amen? So God says to us, always praise him. And he is near us when we're broken. He wants to be near us. And we all need him. Amen? And the final thing I want to bring up is this. You got to commit to God's calling. He has a calling for all of our lives. Each of us is called by him for something great. I love the part here in the psalm. It always means so much to me. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace." In Hebrew, the word peace is, Joe could tell us, shalom, and pursue it. There's a calling for us. Taste this, test God out. Test him. Taste and see. He is good. He even answers, you know, prayers that aren't that significant about catching fish, about finding your lost car keys. How much more does his love pour out in desperate times for health, for wellness, for miracles, for relationship healing, to pass that test that if otherwise we don't pass, we'll be kicked out of the program. God cares for us, but he calls us something great. And he asks for us to commit to this calling. Paul writes this in his letter to the Romans. He says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." See, he reminds us that faith isn't just about avoiding sin. It's actively doing good. Jesus means pushing through pressure to live with purpose. That's his calling on us, right? You'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. You can't give in to pressure. You got to use it as a motivator to pray and to live with purpose. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek shalom, wholeness. Why are we going through the book? We've gone through the book on maturity, living from the heart Jesus gave you, to gain maturity, to gain shalom, full peace, to deal with trauma, to see ourselves develop, to be fruit that lasts in God's kingdom. That's his plan for us. Why are we doing the Jubilee? It's to have a purpose to see souls saved, to catch a bigger picture of what we are a part of. We are a part of an eternal plan. As a fellowship of churches, I believe deeply that we have a special gift to give. As many churches throughout the different world and different backgrounds in his kingdom have, we have a verse to write in the grand play of life. Our verse counts, church. What verse are you writing? Will you see it as significant? The Jubilee is a chance for us to gather and say, this matters. What we're doing matters. Let's be a part of changing lives. Amen. You know, he says, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He goes on, if you're reading the text, it says, not one of his bones would be broken. And that's a reference, that's a little foreshadowing of the cross. You look, I didn't put that verse on there, but how not one bone would be broken is a foreshadowing of the cross, that none of Jesus's bones were broken at the crucifixion, though in fact, normally that's what they would do, right? They did something called crucifracture and they'd break the legs. But in Jesus' case, the writer of the New Testament says they didn't do that. It's the fulfillment of a prophecy. As David wrote these things, he had in mind eternal life. Now listen to this verse. The righteous person may have many troubles. Wait, Steve, I thought if I clean my life up and do everything right, I'm honest in business, I'm fighting for my purity. I'm a giving, loving, selfless person. I sacrifice. Everything should go well for me, right? No. You will have troubles, it says, right? But the Lord delivers him from them all. Nothing can take away the most precious thing in your life. If the most precious thing in your life is your relationship with God, you get to choose that. I remember as a young guy, my goal in life was always to achieve things. I'm a three on the Enneagram, if you guys know what that is. I'm an achiever. I like to achieve stuff. And I thought that would bring me happiness if I just achieved everything. And when I was thinking about life, it occurred to me, the only way for achievers to really be happy is to achieve the greatest goal on the day you die. Otherwise, everything's just a chasing after the wind. And then I realized, well, that is exactly what happens when you surrender your life to Jesus as a disciple of Jesus. You attain the greatest goal, entering into the eternal presence of God on the day you die. Nothing greater to achieve. Your relationship with God is crucial. Amen, church. There will be storms in your life. You might be in a big one right now. I know a few families, and there's some storms. Prayer is called for. We can be radiant in the storm. And our job then is to bring others through the storm of their life. That doesn't mean all our storms are solved. There are challenges, but your relationship with God can be secure. If you don't have the depth of relationship you'd like, we want to provide opportunity for you to have that. We've trained a lot of our small group leaders. Most of us here are trained on how to go through basic studies in the scriptures to teach you how to connect well with God, how to lead you to baptism or reinvigorate your faith or restore your faith if you've drifted. We want everyone to experience a radiant life. Your eyes are the window to your soul, and your soul is filled with light. That's God's plan for all of us. Amen? So if we want to be radiant in the storm, we just got to understand the ABCs, right, that we just covered. The ABCs is my acrostic today. Always praise God. I want to challenge us. Each morning this week, take 10 minutes, at least 10 minutes in your prayer. I don't know if you pray a lot more than that, good. But take 10 minutes to just praise God. Just tell him how great he is, no matter what's going on. B, brokenness brings God near. Be real and honest about fears, doubts, and pain in your prayers. You got to be gut level real about the things that are hurting you and the things that are taking you down. And we all have them. We all have them. Be honest. God wants us to be real, not religious. And C, commit to God's calling. There's something for you to be doing. There's people to love. There's space in your life. You're going to have to open up space to love somebody, encourage, serve, invite. Pursue peace, shalom, wholeness with someone each day. A, B, C's of being radiant in the storm. Amen? Amen. We're going to go to God in prayer right now as we reflect on this, remembering that Jesus is the ultimate answer to radiance. Not one bone was broken when he hung on the cross, but his blood was shed to give us a second chance every day of our life. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Psalms, for the great stories, and Father, the incredible songs that are written, not only by David, but other great biblical heroes. Thank you that they teach us to have comfort in the middle of difficulty in storm. Father, I pray we would follow the ABCs of being radiant through the storms of our own life. And I pray, Father, that each of us reflect that Jesus gave his very life, inspired us how to live, the mission to follow, and gave his body, his broken body. Father, thank you for his blood shed that gives us a second chance. And as we take the bread and as we take the fruit of the vine, help us to remind us of the radiance that we can have in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.